the blessing. Let's look now. We have here today a story of Jacob. Who was the grandson of Abraham. So Abraham was the father of Isaac and Ishmael. And Isaac had twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. Isaac really favoured Esau. Esau means red. He was a big man, a man of the earth. Just like Isaac, an outdoor man. That's who Isaac favoured. And Isaac, unlike Abraham and Jacob, never left Canaan. He liked just being around where he was. And he expected to hand his patriarchal blessing onto Esau, the first one to be born in the set of twins. But Jacob wanted that blessing. Even as he was being born, he grabbed Esau's heel, wanted to get out first. A competitor, they'd call him today. The Bible calls him a schemer. Probably the same thing. But you know, this is the story of us as well. We've all got ways to do things. A hunger deep down inside of everybody. There is a hunger for God, for something bigger. Jacob wanted that blessing. We want God's blessing. And that's fine. We've been praying for that for people today. We need to continue to do that. But we're destined to want God as the blessing, not just what he blesses us with. And that's where Jacob's heading. And that's where this story's heading. And I believe that's where we're all heading. Because something happens when that comes to pass, when that hunger changes. A process of spiritual growth for us. But Jacob wanted the best that God had to offer. And that's all part of becoming that person of God, that person in God, wanting the best that God has to offer. But Esau wanted the best that the world had to offer. So Jacob cheated Esau out of the patriarchal blessing when they were young men, probably very young men. He traded Esau's right to have the patriarchal blessing for a bowl of soup. That's not very ethical. Esau's willingness to do the deal is not very smart. So what those boys did would not rank very highly if you're going to rate godliness in a person's life. One guy saying, I'm not interested in the patriarchal blessing that God wants to pass on to me through my father Isaac. That's very godly. It's also not very godly for Jacob to say, well, look, I know you're hungry. You're just coming out of the field and you can see me eating soup and you're tired and you're hungry and you're saying to me, give me that soup. And Jacob says, I'll give you the soup, but we'll do a deal. How about you give me the blessing? Esau says, yeah, whatever. And that's what a lot of people are like. God, blessing, Dad, I'll have the soup. neither of their attitudes ranks very highly, but at least Jacob wanted something that he knew had a bit more worth. Then there's his mum, Rebecca. She figures a lot in Jacob's life. Rebecca also wants the blessing for Jacob. And she's a good mum. She's a Syrian. She's not a Syrian. She's a Syrian woman. Comes from Syria. So Jacob is half Syrian. And she knows the word of God. She knows what God's about. She knows that if Jacob is going to get the patriarchal blessing from his father Isaac, then Isaac has to lay hands on him and command the blessing upon Jacob's life. And she knows that that's what Dad wants to give to Esau. So she works out a scheme. Makes you wonder where Jacob got his scheming from, but nonetheless, she works out a scheme. Not a terribly godly scheme, but she wanted the best for Jacob, who wanted the best for God, and Rebecca wanted the best for God. So she waits till Esau is out hunting for some venison, a beast to kill. The reason Esau's doing that is that his father said to Esau, "Son, I'm hungry, I'd love some venison. Would you get me some?" So Esau says, "Sure, Dad. I'll shoot one now with my bow and arrow." So he goes out, but you don't do that in half an hour. So he's off trying to get a meal for Dad. In the meantime, Rebecca says, "Jacob, I'm organising a meal for your dad. I've got some of the boys here, but they've just got a beast. Before Esau gets back, you can present the beast to Isaac, your dad, because he's blind. He won't be able to see that you're not Esau. But just to get the deal across, to completely fill in, I've got a goat skin, and I'm going to put that on you. It's furry and hairy, and he'll reach out and touch you, and he'll think you're Esau, and he'll command a blessing." Jacob says, "Great idea, Mum. Let's do it." So, we've got to give it to Rebecca. She was not going to cheat Esau out of it, or Isaac out of it, by doing something that was illegal. She wanted this to be legal. She knew that God couldn't honour this unless Isaac himself laid hands on this boy and did it. Now that's faith. Funny kind of faith. But she wanted the order of things right. So that was the way she looked at it. So Esau was out there hunting. Jacob comes up to Dad, and Isaac commands the blessing upon him. Esau comes back with the meal for his dad. Says, "Here I am, Dad. Here's your meal." Isaac says, "Well, I've already had it. You brought it in about 2 or 3 hours ago." He said, "No, I didn't." And he said, "But are you Esau?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I thought there was something funny about that." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, son, the blessing's gone, but thanks for the meal." He does command the second blessing upon Esau and says, "You're still going to do well, but you'll always be subject to your brother who's got the real blessing through God from Abraham." Well, Esau decides the best way to fix this is to kill Jacob because he's had enough. Rebecca decides that Jacob had better get out of there fast. She says, "You'd better go to my brother's place, Laban, for a few days. until Esau gets over it. A few days turns into 20 years. Here's the blessing that Isaac prayed over Jacob from Genesis 28. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you that you may inherit the land. That's a big blessing. Jacob got it. So he has to escape the wrath of Esau, the hunter, who's been cheated. And so Jacob has to go to Laban's home in Padan Aram. You'll see I've got in brackets there, Melbourne. That was simply to remind me, I should have edited that out, but I'll tell you, I was going to tell you anyway, the distance from Beersheba where Jacob had to go was about the exact distance to the kilometre from here to Melbourne. That's how far it was. So I'm not saying that Melbourne is like Syria, although there are changes happening. But off he goes. And now we read about the blessing of God. Another blessing. Because on the way there, Jacob is blessed by God at a place called Bethel. And this is still in Canaan. This is before he gets across the river. And the word Bethel means the house of God. And he sees a rock. He puts his head on the rock and he anoints that rock. The Bible says that the rock that followed them in the Old Testament was Christ. That's a mysterious saying. It just means, the word Christ means the anointing anyway. So here's this anointing. Jacob puts his head on it. When he puts his head on Christ or on the rock, he gets this wonderful vision and dream of a ladder going from up to heaven, angels ascending and descending. And then the Lord speaks to him when he wakes up and says, well, we'll read the blessing from Genesis 28. The Lord says to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. Then Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God. And of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. He wasn't the first one to tithe. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. But he was honouring God and the presence of God in that place. And we had communion this morning. And I said, that was just bread that we had, but because our intention was not just to have a meal and to eat bread, it was to be in the presence of God. And because Jesus said, this is my body, our intention was to take hold of the presence of God. And that's what we did by faith. When we came in here and began worshipping this morning, we sang songs. We opened our heart to God and we prayed. We gathered together and appreciated the presence of God. And that this place became holy, not because this place has holy water sprinkled on it. This is not a holy building just because it's called a church. It became holy when we declared that we are here with you, God, together to honour you. It is what you're doing in your heart that crosses that line. And that's the way to live. Jacob knew that he wanted the best from God. He did all kinds of things to get a hold of the best of God. It's like God said, all right, Jacob, I can see what's in your heart. God knew even what was going on when he grabbed his brother's heel when he was born. So Jacob had a heart for God, and now he had a promise from God, not just from Isaac. You think, oh, this is the same thing that Isaac said. Yeah, but that Isaac said it then. Now God's saying it. I tell you, things can take on a particular place. On Anzac Day, the soldiers wear a sprig of rosemary. It's just a plant. If you came up to an Anzac person standing at salute at dawn service with a sprig of rosemary and you grabbed the rosemary and threw it on the ground and crushed it, you're just as likely to get a slap. It's just rosemary. But it has the intention of making you respect and honour lives that were lost. And there's a twig of something is an occasion for somebody to actually give it a special place in their heart. People don't walk around wearing, or men don't walk around wearing flowers in their lapels, really, these days, or sprigs of rosemary, but on that occasion that was something. Now, all of them, just comparing, a bit of rosemary was not some sacred thing from God. It was something that man made kind of sacred because of what man put on it. Human beings said, this is special to remember this. So what I'm saying is, there are things that do cause you to reverence special occasions that a man made, and that's what we've got in the world. I don't dishonour them. I think that's wonderful. We may not have the same sentiment, but you can see that means something to them. How much more when we come to communion, when we see something that Jesus himself has said, this is my body, this is my presence. I can take that as being straight from God, not just from a man. I can take having our communion as being straight from God, not just a church service or some kind of church tradition. It is from God. So we're living in a place where we want God, he will find a way to get us into the place where he kind of shows himself. We had a prophetic word this morning about God being on display and men wanting to see things on display. But there's something deeper and hidden. Well, that little piece of bread, which may not look very special, hides something. And these words, when we get together and pray, call upon God, I want you to have an expectation that as we pray today, that even as we listen today to this word from God, that you will know, like Jacob, that because you want the best that God's got, it's not only going to be people speaking to you, it's not only going to be people saying these things are great, it's going to be God speaking to your life. I believe God wants to speak into our life and say to us, I have a blessing for you and I'm going to keep you wherever you go and I'm going to bring you back to this land. I'm not going to leave you till I've done what I've spoken to you. And you're going to say, God is in this place. I believe we're living in days when where we go, we're going to be hearing God saying, I've got things for you on your journey. And I'm going to bring you to a place where you're going to know I'm fulfilling it. I see us in the days of preparing for much fulfillment spiritually in people's lives to come to pass that has not yet come to pass in their lives. And it's going to accompany blessings of God as well. But it's going to become the blessing of God himself. So God speaks to Jacob, and now he has a promise. But he still has got things to do before that promise can be realised. He's still more interested in having the things of God than God himself. So he goes to Laban and he meets and falls in love with Rachel, the second oldest sister. So he's now taking on the world, the wily Laban. He's taking on that at his own game. He's gone to Syria. He's half Syrian himself, just like Abraham came. It was an Iraqi Rebecca was a Syrian. You think, well, where did the Jews come from? Well, they came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons. But we'll get to that in a minute. It's almost like the prodigal son experience with Jacob, because his homeland and the blessing is really still waiting for him to return. I think Jacob speaks for a lot of us. We've got life to do. You've got to get things done. God says, I'm going to be with you when you're doing it. I'm going to prosper you. If you're looking to me, you will get prospered in what you do. But I've got something coming that I'm going to make you ready for. So Jacob and Laban do deals and schemes with each other. Laban's a bit like his sister Rebecca, and he cheats Jacob with the switching of the older daughter Leah for the younger sister Rachel on the wedding night. I mean, he almost pulls the same trick that Jacob did to poor Isaac. Isaac was blind. I don't know how much Jacob had to drink at the wedding party, but he could have been a bit blind himself. But whatever happened, he thinks Leah is Rachel. And wakes up the next morning and goes, what was that all about? That cost Jacob 20 years. He wanted Rachel. He got Leah, had to have her for 7 years. Then he says, I'll do another 7 years for Rachel. And he does that, and then he has to wait around for 6 more years until the kids grow up, until he finally gets a child, actually, through Rachel. It takes all that time. He finally gets Joseph. But anyway, during that time, God prospers Jacob abundantly. Jacob gets a vision from an angel, from God, through an angel, about a science that we now call genetic engineering. And it is recognized that what Jacob did when he started breeding Laban's cattle, goats, that he cracked the code of genetic engineering. He saw certain spotted cattle, certain ring-straight ones, striped ones, and he said to Laban, give me your cattle. And Laban said, well, you can have these, and I'll have these. So what Jacob did, he said, well, I'll take the ones you've given me, and I'm going to separate yours from mine by 3 miles so that yours can't get near mine, and I'm going to breed these, and I'm going to use a special breeding technique, and yours are going to go have to stay over there, because the angel told Jacob just what kind of spotted ones and striped ones and how to breed them. So Jacob does it, and boom, he gets this beautiful breed of cattle, which now the scientists say, yeah, he did it. He observed, by observation, he worked, and that's what science is, observing things. But he got supernatural help. I want to say to you right now, I want you to encourage people that you know that work hard in the business world, and encourage yourself as well in your dealings in the world. God is watching over you. As you work under the Lord, God will prosper the things you do. Jacob is basically speaking for us, and God is speaking to us through Jacob, saying, look, you might be doing things your own way, and you think, oh, golly, is this really going to work? I dreamed up that idea. You go to God, and God will put things into your heart and mind that are creative. He'll give you eyes to see through what the appearance of things seem to be. You'll look at a decision and you'll say,
well, that just looks like I need to get a little bit more leverage here, and I need to do a better deal there. But God will give you eyes to see through what you're seeing on the outside into causes of things and effects of things, a deeper understanding of what's really going on in whatever it is that you're involved in, whatever your work is, whatever you do with your life. God's going to get you to see through what you see straight in front of you. All Jacob saw was a striped cow or a spotted goat, but he saw through that. I just pray right now in Jesus' name that God will give to you in your workplace or wherever you are eyes to see through what on the surface might look like some kind of an equation that you just have to work out and write down the numbers. But God is saying to you, I'm going to show you behind what's behind the surface into things of cause and effect that only I understand, and I will give you the understanding of. Because I want you, the Lord says, to honour me in what is the work of your hands, whatever it may be, that you will give thanks to me and I can prosper you. Amen. So, the Lord says to Jacob then, after that time, he says, it's time to return to the land of the promise. Time to go home. But there were still things unfinished in Jacob's life. And spiritual life. See, there's two halves of life. There's the getting there with God on the way, and then there's getting there. It's not a matter of age. It's a matter of realizing God's been with me all this time, but there's something of God that I still want to have a hold of. Not just what he's done for me, but what I can do with him and he can do with me. So Jacob finally heads for home. But he gets news of Esau coming and he's afraid for his life. Well, remember, Esau had promised to kill him. And there are consequences. Jacob, definitely he would have piled up a few consequences. Even Laban said he was going to get after him because he thought he had been done badly by. But anyway, Esau is the one he's worried about. So he organises a peace treaty with Esau, sends some people out with gifts of goods and cattle. And I don't just mean, you know, a few strays. He had bulls, cows, camels, goats, donkeys, herds and herds and herds of them. He'd become a very rich man. He sends them on to soften up his brother Esau. And he sends his family on ahead. And when I say family, he's got two wives, he's got 11 kids. And he's got heaps and heaps of servants. He's got lots of stuff. He's been well prospered. But now he's facing Esau. So his gifts go on before him. He's with his wives. He just tells them to wait near this river, Jabbok, just to go across, and then he stays back for the night on his own. The Bible doesn't say why, but there is something that he wants to get a hold of in his own life. Perhaps it was his fear of Esau. He wanted to somehow find some sort of peace and ask God. But as usual, God intervenes first. And an angel, the angel of God, comes to wrestle. Does have a struggle with Jacob, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. This is Jacob's
real struggle. And God sees that Jacob is not going to give up the struggle. He deliberately throws Jacob's hip out of joint to stop the fight. He knows he can win. I said last week and the week before, when we labour to enter into that rest that we've been speaking about today, that is the struggle, to get out of the things of the head, out of the things that can bother us, out of the fears, out of the things of the past. And this is what Jacob was loaded up with. And yet he knew that he had a blessing coming, but he knew there was trouble in front of him. And he says, I've got to get God. And that is a struggle. Because you leave other things behind, you say, until I'm in this place with God, it's going to all be up to me again. I don't know if I've got any tricks left. God sees that Jacob's not going to give up the struggle, puts his hip out of joint, and Jacob says to God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And God tells Jacob that his name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. Which means, well, it means a lot of things. The actual literal meaning is God fights. But in Hebrew, you really can't take the literal meaning. You can't even sort of transliterate it. The different versions say, prevailed with God. That's a good translation. But what Hebrew does, instead of trying to get you to translate the word, it actually puts the story there. Hebrew frames what the word is, what the actual word is, in what's going on. And tells you this is what's going on. This is what's happening. That's how it does communicate. So all of these words, prevailed with God, an overcomer with God, struggled with God. But God said to him, you've struggled with God and you've prevailed. That was his moment with God. He'd hung on to God. Jacob then asked God who he was, because God says to Jacob, who are you? And he says, Jacob, as if to say, yeah, I'm Jacob, I'm the schemer. And then he says, no, you're Israel. You've struggled with God, you've prevailed, you're a prince. That's another meaning of the word Israel. When he says to God, who are you? God says to him, why do you want to know? And God doesn't tell him who he is. He says, why do you want to know? All I can say about that is God wants us to want to know who he is. He wants us to want to know him. God says he's unknowable. The beautiful thing is we have Jesus. We have somebody who's become human like us. And so Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, see me. If you see me, you've seen the Father. Aren't we blessed to have a man in heaven who's one of us? I would like to know what the love of God is. I really, really would like to know. I'm going to know one day, totally. And when I ask God what the love of God is, I don't know how. I don't know how to ask him what his love is like. In fact, I've said to God very recent times, I said, how do I know if I'm loving you, God? What have I got to feel to say I love you, God? I don't know you enough to say I love you. Look, you've blessed me, you're wonderful. And the closest I could come was to say, the best way I can express my love to you, God, whom I don't know, is to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are and what you do. And I kind of say, is that all right? But then I got a kind of a whisper from the Holy Spirit about 5 days ago. I said, how do I get to let God know I love him? And how do I know that I love him? And the Holy Spirit says, easy. You just hide yourself in Jesus, because Jesus loves the Father perfectly. And you just skip him. Your life is him with Christ and God. You say, oh, Jesus, can you actually take me with you in your giving of love to the Father? And Jesus says, certainly, I'm your Saviour. Our lives are hidden with Christ and God. And you know what? I can rest in that. I can say, Lord, I'm not sure how to say it, Father, but Jesus, he'll tell you that I'm sharing his love with you. One day I might understand it even more. One day I might really know. But for the moment, it's in Christ, because I know I'm safe there. And I've got him. Jacob names the place Peniel. It's just like the bread. It means God's face, God's presence, because he said, I met God face to face and I lived to tell the story. So Jacob has changed from the schemer to the overcomer. He's been running from what he's also been running from, what he's also been running to, and that is a life with God. He will forever walk with a limp of humility. That's what happens when you struggle with God. He shows you your weakness. And you think, oh yeah, thank you, thank you. But he says, don't worry about it. I'm your strength now. But every time you walk, wherever you go, that's going to remind you that I am your strength. But don't get under condemnation. So Jacob, now aware of his weakness, now knowing that God is his strength, he's grown. He has spiritual maturity, not just wanting things to happen in our lives, but wanting God to happen. But really, there's another point I just want to make. It's not just wanting God to happen. It's Jacob wanted the blessing. But you know what I believe God wants for you? Not just to get the blessing, because he's going to do that. But he wants you to be the blessing for everyone you know. And in your prayer life, when you know that you're hanging on to God, and you know you've got your limp, and you know you're trusting him, and you know you're not going to let him go until you get to know him more, and it just keeps taking time. But you know when you've done that you can say, you can just speak words about those that you know and love and care for, and just say, release your blessing upon the Lord, and you know that you're imparting blessing. You become not just blessed, but you become the one that blesses by faith. Just before we go any further, who are you thinking about now that you want blessed? Somebody that's struggling. Somebody in need. I want you now, very simply, to just in faith reach out your hand and just say, thank you, Lord. I release your blessing. You know what that life needs now. I release it now. Because I'm working with you in this, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we just say amen to that.